Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are coming to the close of a very practical series of studies based on the words of Jesus, ministering to the least of these, to those in need. Our topic today, to love mercy, and that is so aligned with the heart of our loving God. I pray you'll be blessed, and it's good to be together and study, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm excited because one of our team, Puya, is going to be teaching today, and it's so exciting not only to have some members of our team who teach, but to know that thousands of people around the world are downloading our outline, and you're having an in-depth interactive class where you live. We would love to hear from you what people are learning about the Word of God, what you're learning about sharing the Word of God. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And we would be happy to hear what God's doing in you and through you. Here are just a few emails we've received recently. One from Chippo in Zimbabwe. Chippo writes, "Hi, everybody.
Hi.
My name's Chippo. I'm a 17-year-old girl learning at a high school in Zimbabwe, the same school where one of your team, Simiso, went to school."
Oh.
Well, we all know Simiso. He's not with us today, Chippo, but we're glad that you're studying there. "I look forward to watching Hope Sabbath School programs because they encourage me to read the Bible more and to memorize Bible verses, which I often struggle with when I'm alone. Thanks to your program, I enjoy contributing during my own Sabbath School class and proving to my classmates that we shouldn't be embarrassed when we know more Bible verses than we do about the latest movie or popular song."
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
"Your testimonies give me great assurance that I serve a living and powerful God."
Amen.
Well, you just encouraged us for our study today, Chippo. Thanks for writing to us from Zimbabwe. And you're right, the Word of God is more powerful than modern movies or popular songs. Kodaya writes from Jamaica. Anyone from Jamaica here? All right, Nicole. Jamaican heritage anyway,
yes,
right?
Yes.
"My name's Kodaya. I'm writing from Jamaica. I recently got introduced to Hope Sabbath School. I was so amazed and refreshed that there was a program that I could watch that would help me to further understand the Bible."
Amen. Amen.
"With the introduction of this program, I can now understand better and make application to my own life."
Amen.
"I'm thrilled to share it with my husband because we do Sabbath school together. We can now have a more in-depth discussion, and the program will help both of us to know how to understand the Word of God. This platform," writes Kodaya, "is remarkable, and I'm looking forward to the ones in the future. Thank you, and God bless you all." Well, Kodaya, I'm impressed that you're not. She's already encouraged her husband to watch, too. And you know someone, you're watching today, wherever you are around the world, you know someone who will be blessed by a study of God's Word. The Holy Spirit's the one who changes hearts, but we can invite people to be blessed through His Word. Amen. Manuel writes from Angola, and he says, "I've been watching this program for 7 years.
Wow.
Now, I'm a member of Hope Sabbath School. This program has been changing my life. I understand the scriptures well through Hope Sabbath School." Well, his main language in Angola is not English, is it? There's probably some tribal languages and Portuguese, right, in Angola. So we're just glad, Manuel, that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Let's see, I have another note here. I think I mixed them all up. That's it. Oh, no, here's two more in my Bible. Here's one from a donor in Arizona, in the United States. Trevor, you're from Arizona, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, say a little wave to a family there. This person writes, "My faith," mentions a mainline church of 60 years, "has been void for a long time. I didn't know what was missing. And one day I found Hope Sabbath School, and I know now what I was missing. I was missing the Word of God."
Amen.
Amen. Is it possible to go to church each week and not hear the Word of God? I realized it was God's Word, reading, studying, savoring. That's what was lacking in my life. A couple of years of regular watching has inspired me to seek out a personal Bible study group, which I have now found. And this donor sent a gift of $25 to Hope Sabbath School. And you know, we're all part of the miracle. So thank you for helping this donor-supported ministry. One last note from Randy in Ohio in the United States. Thank you for blessing us through the weekly Bible study. It's been a tough year for me. I was rushed to the hospital and later diagnosed with dead bowel syndrome and had emergency surgery. I'm still experiencing the effects of that surgery. Then in November, I was to have cataract surgery on my right eye because of a retina detachment a year earlier. It was great the next day I was able to see. Then in December, it became necessary to have surgery on the other eye. And during that surgery, something went terribly wrong. Instead of a 10 or 15 minute surgery, it took an hour and a half. Wow. This surgery left me blind in my left eye, hopefully temporarily. So far, I've gained only 50% of my vision in my left eye. Haven't been able to drive or go to church, but I've been able to watch Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you, those who wait on the Lord, I believe, will renew their strength. Amen. And we want to be praying for continued healing for you, Randy. That's obviously a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, when we hide the Word in our hearts, even if we lose some sight, we still have the Word within us.
Amen.
And that's why we sing scripture songs as theme songs for this series. For this series on the least of these, we've got a beautiful text from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5 and 16. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Let's sing together.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may
Well, I'm excited as we study together today that we can direct our hearts into the love of God and to love mercy as He does. Puya, why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin our study?
Shall we pray? Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity that You have given to us today to study Your Word once again. Lord, we pray that You will be with us, that You speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray not only for the Hope Sabbath School team members here in the studio, but I pray also for all the Hope Sabbath School members around the world, whenever it is that they're watching this episode or wherever it is that they're watching this from. Lord, I pray that You will be with them as well.
Amen.
We thank You for Your love. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. We are on a series of studies on the topic of ministering to those in need, the least of this, according to the teachings of Jesus. And today we are on lesson number 12. And the title of our study is To Love Mercy. I want to start our study by reading Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Jonathan, can you please read for us Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And here we will find the call of God for mankind. All right. In this verse, we will be able to see what God requires of us as mankind.
Micah 6, verse 8. All right, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen. So here in this verse, what is God requiring us as mankind or people in your version?
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that stands to do justly?
Walk humbly with God.
Walk humbly with him and
love mercy.
Love mercy, which is the title of our study today. This is what God is asking of mankind, every one of us, all right? And as we have seen in our study, in this series of studies, we have seen time and time again that the Bible is filled with descriptions of God's concern for the poor and the oppressed people, and also the calls for his people to stand for those people.
That's right.
Yet, despite all this attention, it is not enough. We still live in a sinful world, right? We still see sins and evils around us, and those are most often portrayed. We can see them through poverty, difficulties, hardship, sickness, pain, and so many more. And today we will study what it means to have mercy, to love mercy amidst these troubles and the time that we live in. All right, so let's continue our study by reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. Addison, if you can read for us Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, starting from verse 25 down to verse 33.
For sure. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
So what is Jesus telling us here in this verse that we just read? Anything?
Well, he doesn't want us to worry. I noticed that the word worry or worrying is here at least four times.
Right.
He's saying instead of worrying, we should just have faith that he'll provide for us what we need.
So we can find assurance that God is going to take care of us, right? Mm-hmm. Evelyn?
I think what the Lord is trying to tell us is that many times we prioritize the material things in our life or treasures or how we're going to prosper in life.
Right.
And God is telling us, you don't need to worry about that if you seek me first, because I will provide for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should be your priority. That's right. What the Lord is telling us.
Amen. So how should this assurance that we have in God change our priorities in life? What should we prioritize first, as you said? Yes, Trevor.
Our focus should really be on those who are in need, because we know we have a master, and he's going to take care of us. So if we have our focus on others, we won't be concerned about what am I going to wear, how am I going to eat, how am I going to pay my bills, because the focus is on helping others.
Yes.
We put our focus on that, God will bless.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Travis.
I think, too, in the context of what we're studying is that it's easy in life today to say, well, I would go do that, but I need this job, or I would go do this, but I need to, and God is saying, I'll take care of your needs.
Amen.
You know, go ahead and do these things. We often use our jobs and the things, the necessities we need in life as an excuse not to go and help the poor or to do that kind of thing.
Amen.
Amen. So the next question is, then why is showing mercy to those in need important for followers of Jesus? But before we answer that, I want us to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 36. And Pedro, if you can read for us,
sure.
Luke chapter 6, verse 36. And after reading this verse, we will answer the question, why is showing mercy to those in need important for followers of Christ?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version in Luke 6, 36. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful.
All right. So what should be the reason why this is important? Showing mercy to those in need. Yes, Jonathan?
Yeah, to reflect the beauty of who Christ is and how he reflects God's compassion and mercy. And,
Amen. Yes, Travis?
You know, that we can't pay God back for anything he's done. We can't. I mean, the bill that he's paid for us, there's nothing we can do. There is one thing we can do. And we can extend the same mercy that he's extended to us to others. That's the one thing that we can do for God.
Amen. Amen.
And I honestly believe that brings joy to the heart of God.
Amen. Yes.
It's not like, well, you ought to do that because I expect it. I think even as parents, when we see our children acting in a beautiful way, we experience joy.
Yes.
I think it brings joy to the heart of God when he sees his mercy extended through us.
Amen.
So can we say that in life, food, clothes, money, they're important, but they're not the most important?
Amen.
Amen.
Or they're not the priorities that we should have in life. Can we say that?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But that means that God called us to a higher standards than that of the world. And that may bring us into situations sometimes where our relationship with those in power, that may change our relationship with those people who are oppressing other people, right? So how should we respond as Christian if we are in situations where our convictions from the Word of God may not be in line with the policies of the government or people in power, right? Let us read Acts chapter 5, verse 29, to give us an idea of how the people of God, or at least the disciples of Jesus, dealt with situations like that in the past. After reading this, we will answer that question again. So, Trevor, if you can read for us Acts chapter 5, verse 29.
Acts chapter 5, verse 29, and I'll be reading from the New King James translation. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Before talking about that verse, should we obey the government first? Let's answer the question.
Yes.
Is government important in our lives?
Yes.
There are other Bible texts that tell us we should.
Yes.
And Jesus did.
That's right.
Yes.
So he's our example. Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Yes. So then the next question is, what if the policies of the government or people in power come in conflict with the teachings of God? Yes, Addison.
Well, I think of the example of Daniel. I mean, he had one of the highest positions in Babylon, and he did the very best job he could possibly do. The only time when he would go against the decrees, the laws of the land, if it was going to conflict with being obedient to the law of God and following his conscience. And he was even willing to go to the den of the lions because he chose rather to obey God rather than men.
Yes. Stephanie, yes.
I just, when I think about Daniel and I think about how Jesus responded, it wasn't defiantly. It was with a humble spirit. And I think we need to keep that in mind that even though there might be a conflict, when we deal with that conflict, we humbly follow God, and we don't go to the lower plane and be mean and rough.
Yes.
We may also without have the choice, unlike some prisoners of war who have the choice to leave, we may have the choice to say, I think I'm going to emigrate to another country. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking of friends who at certain times lived in parts of Europe where there was no religious freedom. Mm. And they chose to move to another country where there was religious freedom.
Right.
Because they wanted their children to be able to study the Bible and to honor God. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we always have to get into a fierce conflict. Mm-hmm. We may say that's the way they're choosing to be here, but that's not the way I've chosen to live. Mm-hmm. Daniel, especially in his young life, didn't have that choice. He was a prisoner of war. Mm-hmm. But we may choose it would be better to live in this setting than to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Even, yes, looking at Daniel that you mentioned, look at his story, he stood up for people. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that what God calls us to? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Standing up for people, even if the policies or the rules that the government or people in power have put in place to oppress other people. Yes, Travis?
And I like what everyone's saying, because this brings something to my mind, is when we're faced with this kind of thing, we can go out and protest and make all kinds of... Mm. But, you know, Daniel prayed. So maybe we should pray-test instead of protest.
Yes, yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Instead of making a big deal, we can go to God with this.
The problem. Yes, amen.
Yes, Pedro.
And this is also, I think, is a time of witnessing. Mm-hmm. And we're witnessing with a humble heart. You know, we're not trying to impose what we believe. We're trying to share the light of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we do it that humbly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Jonathan?
Thinking it's kind of how the kingdom of God is advances in a totally different way than the kingdoms of this world. Rather than by force, it's by appealing to these leaders' hearts and demonstrating a way of peace. We're working for them, but we're also standing up for truth and for the poor. So it's seek ye first the kingdom of God goes about in life in a different way and appeals to people.
Amen. 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 Can anyone share an experience or a time when God gave you the courage or the power to honor him in a potentially compromising situation? Trevor?
As a teacher, I am constantly faced with issues of having to do things on the Sabbath. And recently, I just received a special certification. But at the time, I didn't know the training for that would take place over the Sabbath.
Oh.
And I got wise counsel and prayed to God, what should I do? How should I handle this? And he did give me the courage and the strength. And someone said it's a witnessing tool to share my faith and humble myself. It all worked out because she understood in the end about faith and honoring that, and accommodations were made for me. So as we mentioned, it doesn't have to be a protest and be aggressive. You can humble yourself and share your faith and witness at the same time, and God will bless. And he gave me the courage because I was pretty nervous. I thought I would have to pay back the funding for that training, but God blessed in the end.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Let us continue our study by reading James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And Gary, if you can read for us James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and we will answer the question, then, what are we called to do as Christians in terms of helping those in need? Is knowing the fact that people need help enough or not? Gary.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, James 2, 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?
What can we learn from this verse? Yes, Gary.
We have to put our actions where our words are, right? Yes. So if you see someone with the need and you say, okay, this is the way you should go, well, do something about it.
Yes. Addison?
I was just going to re-echo what he was saying. We got to, as Christians, we have a privilege to translate those words into actions. And those powerful words of Jesus, that counsel he gives us, his holy word, we can create actions out of those.
I like
make a difference.
I like what you said about that by using the word privilege. you know? Mm. It is an opportunity, yes. Right?
Amen.
Yes, Travis.
This verse just reminds me, like, you're a man who doesn't own a car, and you tell somebody, yeah, just take my car, but you just don't have one. You know, you're promising something that you don't have. It's like empty.
All right. So let's get practical now, right? So what are the ways that we can show mercy? What are the ways that we can put our words into action? Let's answer that question by first reading Leviticus. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at some principles that God gave back in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 to 37. And Nicole, if you can please read for us Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 to 37. And we will look at what God, the principles that God gave to his people in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Leviticus 25, verses 35 to 37, the New International Version says, "If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God, so that they may continue to live among you. You must not lend them money at interest or sell them food at a profit."
Wow. So what stands out for you from that verse? Yes, Pedro.
Well, there's two things that stand out for me here. First of all, taking care of our brethren. You know, sometimes in the church environment, we want to help the others outside of the church, which are important, but we forgot to check if our family members in our church are being cared for. And one of the things, and that's the principle I always took of seeing here, we should not take profit out of each other. You know, if we can help without expecting nothing in return, or not trying to get something from them, you know, if somebody's struggling.
Yes. Gladys?
Yes, what got my attention was where it says treat them as a foreigner or a stranger. And in a previous lesson, we talked about how to treat the stranger in our midst. That if you have a vineyard or a field, leave out, don't pick up everything, just leave something for the stranger and the foreigner. So that is interesting that it's thinking about the people that come, you know, and that are just part of our family, like Pedro said about in our own churches that may be hungry and we may not know. So providing for the people in-house as well.
Amen. Amen. So what principle can we take from this this verse that God gave to the people, his people? What would be the one principle that we can take away in terms of helping those in need? Yes, Jonathan?
It reminds me of the verse where Christ says, what good is it for if you give to those who give back to you?
Right.
I mean, living this way changes you from how do I calculate in order to get something for myself, or this is about being a blessing to this person who has no relation to you and may actually be hurting you in some way, but your goal is to think about their needs and to prioritize them.
Yes.
You know, it's quite countercultural because some people, if there's shortage of food, they put the price up so they can make more money. And the Bible's saying, don't do that. Don't take advantage of someone. Yeah. And what I was thinking of was the simple principle of Jesus to treat them the way you would like to be treated.
Yes.
And if you say, well, if I was in that situation, I would appreciate some mercy, then show mercy to them.
Yes.
Amen.
Nancy, can you read for us 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19? Let's jump now to the New Testament. We have looked at the principles from the Old Testament. Let's go now to the New Testament and see what the principles that God gave to us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 17 to 19.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." "Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life."
Wow.
Amen.
So what does this verse tell us about generosity towards those in need?
Anyone? You know, when it was talking about storing up, I thought of the exact opposite, which is the fellow that kept building a bigger barn and storing up for himself. Mm-hmm. And here it's saying store up by giving away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Store up what? Well, you're storing treasure in heaven.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Amen.
Where thieves can't break in and steal, a moth can't eat, or rust corrupt, right?
Yes.
But that's kind of strange. That by giving to those in need, we're actually storing up treasures
in heaven. Mm. Amen.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? Like, that's, as you have mentioned, that's countercultural.
It is.
Once again, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we find principles in the scripture of God inviting us to reach out to people.
Amen. Mm.
If you are rich, share your blessings.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
So here we can say for this section that one way, out of the many ways, one way to show mercy to those in need, to put our words into action, is to be generous.
Mm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So the next question is, what are some ways to be generous besides giving money or donating to a certain cause? Gladys?
Our time. That's the most precious thing that we have.
Amen.
And we only have 24 hours a day, and sometimes we say, I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot do it. And like Travis said, you know, sometimes we lose our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We said, I'm too busy with my job, or I have 10 kids or 5 kids sort of to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And we put helping others aside.
Yes.
But giving our time, that is a way that we can prioritize doing the work of God.
So beside money, sharing time is one way of being generous. Yes, Pedro?
Well, sharing your skills also. You know, you have many talents.
Mm.
Like, at my church, I like to help people with the things I do. I like to fix cars. I like to do handiwork at homes. And I make myself available to do those things because sometimes people know how to do it. They don't have the money to be able to fix things that are very expensive, which for people who are skilled, have no cost.
Mm. So skills.
Yes.
Yes, Travis.
I think prayer.
Mm. Prayer. Mm.
You know, prayer is a huge tool.
Yes. Mm.
And a matter of fact, I don't remember where the verse is, but I remember it saying in the verse that not to intercede for somebody in prayer is a sin.
Mm.
Like God says, you need to pray for them. Yes. You know, we need to pray for people.
Mm.
And I think prayer is a huge thing.
Prayer, yes. Trevor?
Education is very valuable.
Mm.
In terms of, how can you possibly help any community unless you know about that community?
Mm.
One of the first things we did in my church, because we wanted to do more in our little small community, is I went to the city and got a needs assessment.
Mm.
And in that needs assessment, the information was so valuable.
Mm.
Because then we can pinpoint what exactly do the people need and what agencies can we work with to help them.
Mm.
And so education about your community is priceless.
Amen, amen. So that is an example of how God impressed you to reach out to others and show mercy. Can anyone share an experience when someone came to you and someone showed you mercy? Or through a generous spirit, or it could be time or money. Any experience where you felt blessed by someone else?
Amen.
Yes, Travis.
When I was just starting business, 20 years old, I had a truck. It broke down, and I was building my first house.
Mm.
He was such a nice man, and he knew my truck broke down, and he took me down to the auto lot, and he bought me a truck. And I had to pay for it, but it would come out of the house. And I felt embarrassed because I'm building his house.
Mm.
But I built him a home. His name was Rick, and he's passed away now. And I never got to go back and thank him. But for years, I thought about how generous that he was to do that for me. And it was my first home, and it launched my career as a home builder. And
Amen.
It was just an amazing thing that I still remember to this day.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, that reminds me of a saying that goes, no man is an island, right? We all need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't survive alone. We are created to be people of community. You know, we function best as human beings, as mankind, when we work together and help together,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So let's conclude this part of our study by saying that one major way that we can show mercy, that we can put our words into action, is by being generous.
Amen.
It could be through money or through time, through skills, through prayer, right? Through education. But let's take it to the next level and find another way how we can put these words into practice, right? Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and we will find another way of how we can show mercy to others. Stephanie, can you read for us Matthew chapter 5, verse 9?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen. Before we unpack that, let's continue reading Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Let's go back to the Old Testament. And after reading this, we will unpack those two verses. All right? Gary, if you can you kindly read for us Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7?
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So let's unpack those two verses. What word stood out for you in terms of showing mercy to others? Yes, Jonathan?
I just think about how in our world there's so much contention over different issues in various areas where people just aren't able to listen to each other or are more prone to look at and kind of point out the problems of other people. And I take this as a calling to say, it's as followers of Christ, it's our responsibility to reach out and to try to be the voice of the other side or to listen and seek to understand and to build bridges of trust so that you can say, okay, there's something good about this other person. They're coming from their own context.
Yes, we found two from those two verses, one word that summarizes what you just said.
Peace
right? Peacemaking. Peacemaker. Right? Yes, Stephanie.
I guess it came to my mind was Romans 5, verse 1, where it says, if we can go there and read that.
Do you want to read that?
Great. Sure.
Just give us time to go there.
Verse 1.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
And it also talks about peace.
Okay. Making peace.
Yes.
All right.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I took the view that this peacemaking is bringing people to Jesus to have that connection and find that peace with him. Just like in Isaiah 52:7, publishing peace and sharing the gospel with those.
Right.
Amen.
Isn't the whole ministry of Jesus, the fact that he came to this earth was to make peace, right? To reconcile mankind with God.
Right.
So from these two verses, I believe we can learn that if we are children of God, if we are followers of Christ, we are called to be peacemakers.
Amen.
Yes,
you know, in the Beatitude, it just caught my attention, Puya. You would think it would say, blessed is the one that the peacemaker helps to find peace. But it doesn't. It says, blessed is the peacemaker. So what that tells me, Puya, is that when we join God in what he's doing, we're blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I believe that, let's say this contention and you help people to find peace, or someone's separated from God and you help them find peace with God, I believe they're blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is saying you're blessed
as
the peacemaker
when
you join the Prince of Peace in what he's doing.
Yes. So in bringing that back to the title of our study, so how does your ministry to others as a peacemaker demonstrate your love for mercy? How does the word mercy and peacemaking go together?
Amen.
Yes, Nicole.
Well, if you look at the definition of the word mercy, it's compassion and forgiveness for someone that you could harm. They're under your authority and you can actually harm them. And so if you're bringing peace, you're actually showing mercy because you are taking away the ability to be able to harm them and actually putting them in a place where they can actually have life. So that's how I think the two kind of relate.
Okay. Yes. So you can't separate the two, right?
Right.
Making peace and having mercy go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
So can anyone share an experience where God gave you the opportunity to be the peacemaker? any experience that you have had of making peace? It could be between two of your friends, or it could be between two countries, or two schools, or two institutions. Any experience? Yes, Nancy.
Well, with my children, I have three sons. And I've found that what's helpful is to listen to them. People want to be heard. And when you hear their perspective, you understand more where they're coming from. Mm. And then they come to a place where they can reconcile.
Amen. Yes, so it starts with the family, yes. Right? Gladys?
Yes, recently, you know, in my school, there was some situation with a teacher and another teacher. Mm. One teacher thought that the other teacher had said something about her, and she was very defensive. Mm. And it was just like the Lord just said, you know, just ask. Mm. You know, I said, have you talked to her? Mm. It was just as simple as, have you talked to her? Ask her exactly, you know, because sometimes people just are afraid to go straight on and say, hey, I heard this. Is this true? Mm-hmm. So it was so simple, but at the same time, so profound to me, because the Lord was just like speaking to me as well. When I have a situation, do I go first to the person and say, hey, you know, can we work this out?
Right.
You know, so it was just an amazing experience, not only for her and the other teacher, but it was also for me.
Yes.
Being able to ask the question and solve the situation.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. God puts us in situations and places where we can be peacemakers. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And so we have looked at one way of showing mercy or having mercy by being generous, right? Mm-hmm. And the next that we just looked at is by being peacemakers.
Yes.
Now let's go further into our lesson and study another way of having mercy or loving mercy, right? Mm-hmm. Let us read Psalm number 146 and verse 9. And Jonathan, can you please read for us Psalms 146, verse 9?
All right. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows because he frustrates the plans of the wicked.
Amen.
All right. Before we unpack that, let us read Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 and 7. And Trevor, if you can read for us Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. We will look at these two verses and answer the question, what other ways can we show mercy to others? Right? Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Translation, starting with verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So looking at those two verses that we just read, what stands out for you? Travis, I see you smiling.
I've studied this whole chapter a lot, and there's multiple meanings in this thing for me.
Right.
First,
but in the context of our study today.
In the context of our study today is there's people in this world who don't know Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
And when it talks about that we should clothe somebody, many are not clothed with the righteousness of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When people are hungry, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life.
Mm.
We need to bring them the bread of life. It's not just physical food, but we can bring them spiritual food.
Amen.
And at the end, it says, don't hide yourself from your own flesh.
Mm.
We, as Christians, need to be open. We're just sinners just like everybody else.
Amen. Right.
And to hide yourself from who you are to people, it's basically lying.
Yes. Mm. Thank you. Nicole.
But while I agree with what Travis said, you have to also look at, there are people who have needs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are people who are hungry. There are people who need shelter. Mm-hmm. Yes. And just as Jesus did, he met the physical needs right. of the individuals he came in contact with, mm-hmm. and then he also yes. blessed them spiritually.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have to reach people where they are yes. in order to get their attention,
Amen.
And then we can then bring them Jesus and let them know, listen, because of Jesus, I was able to help you.
That's right.
And that may be able to reach someone in a way that we couldn't reach them in
yes.
any way.
Yes, mm-hmm. amen.
Yes, amen. These are people who need help. Yes, Gladys?
I was just thinking in the same vein as Nicole, that sometimes we just like say to the people, I'm going to pray for you, you know, and we have the resources or know the connections or have somebody that can help them. Mm-hmm. But we just say, we're going to pray for you and we don't get involved personally.
Right.
So I think that the text is basically telling us, just go out there
Amen.
And do your part. Do what you can do.
Yes.
And God will provide.
Amen. Yes. Patricia.
I noticed that the first text that we read says that the Lord watches over those people. But then the second text is telling us, you need to do it. I told you to do it.
Yes. So can we say that God is asking us to stand up
yes.
for those people?
Be his vessels.
To be the voice for the voiceless.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To stand up for the injustice that we see around us.
Yes.
Yes, Derek.
You know, I heard a story, Puya, just this weekend, and I won't share all of the details, but it was a family that saw another family that it was in great need. The family had suffered some trauma in an accident. And this other family said, you know, our house just happens to be a handicapped accessible house. They have ramps, we have wide doors. Now that could just be a coincidence, or it could be that even ahead of time God provided.
Amen.
And so then he brought this family in need who would need wide doors and ramps. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Wow.
So I think when we just pray, God, I want to be open to love mercy like you do today, that he might say, I have someone that needs exactly, back to what Pedro said, maybe a skill or maybe a home that has wide doors and ramps.
Right.
And I'm going to lead someone so that you can show my love to them.
Yes, Amen. Yes. God loves everyone.
Yes.
But he wants to use us
yes.
as his instrument and his hands and feet.
Amen.
Right? Yes, Nancy.
I have friends who have 3 children of their own, but then I believe they were thinking about adopting, and God actually showed the mom a vision. She was out in the summertime, and she saw in the clouds a formation of the word joy. She thought, am I seeing things? It seems to say joy. Then they went to a service, and they were singing a song that had the word joy in it a lot. And then they just kept running into situations with the word joy. It turns out that the little girl that they were to adopt, her name has joy, the word joy in it. And she's just this little Asian girl, you know, with Down syndrome, and she's just precious. Now, you would think that they adopted one, but they adopted 2 more children. By the time, you know, they had already adopted one, then they adopted this one. And then the husband had a dream, and in the dream, he dreamt that he was in a courthouse, and all of his family, big family, were on one side, and on the other side was this little boy, this little Asian boy, and he was all by himself. And the judge asked him if he was willing to adopt him, and he thought, my goodness, but I already have my 3 children and 2 others. And then the Spirit of God spoke to him, but this boy has no one. And they adopted him too. And these children, the little boy is one of my son's very, very dear friend. And I just really admire this family. They've given so generously. Exactly, this is what God calls us to be.
Yes.
To give like extravagantly like he gives to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's look at the ministry of Jesus, looking at his time while he was here on earth. When do we see Jesus standing up for people who didn't have a voice or those who need his help? Is there any story or a chapter or something that you have read come to mind of when Jesus stood up for someone who didn't have a voice? Yes, Trevor.
I think this is a very subtle example. I think it's in maybe Luke, I believe, chapter 14, But the woman that came in and she used her tears to wash Jesus' feet. She had that expensive oil, anointed his head. And Judas was like, wait a minute, so wasteful. She could have used that money for the poor. And we know at the time, Judas was not being sincere because he was the one that kept the money bag and doing some cheating there with the money. And so Jesus said, leave her alone. She has done a good thing. So I think that's a very subtle example where Jesus was like, wait a minute, this woman is doing a good thing. Do not, you know, fault her for doing that.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, Nicole?
Well, in Luke, same book, when he raised the widow's son, you know, the widow, she had no one else. All she had was her son. Her son's passed away. She was very, very sad. And he went and took compassion on her and did not want her to be alone. And so he actually raised her son from the dead. So that's him looking out for widows and children.
And yes, Stephanie.
Well, I was thinking of when the mothers brought their children to Jesus for him to bless them. And his disciples were, you know, don't bother the Savior. And he said, no, no, bring them here. And he blessed each one of them.
Amen.
Yes, Pedro.
Well, it's interesting that even during the sufferings of Christ, you know, he's at the cross. He remembered his mother. And he cared for her and says, John, take up my mother. You know, I'm dying on the cross for our sins. But he looked down and he remembered that his mother, it was there.
Yes. Amen. Yes, Gary.
I can't remember which feeding, but it was, I believe the gospel said that Jesus had compassion on the multitude that was following him for, you know, X number of days. And
Amen.
He fed them all.
So throughout the ministries of Jesus, we find him standing up for people, standing up for the oppressed, standing up for people who are outcast, right? Jesus was always the voice for the voiceless, and that's why his teachings were so radical for his time. Now, let's come to our day and age today in modern times. Who comes to your mind as someone who stands up and speaks for the voiceless or people who are oppressed? It could be from outside of the Bible or outside of the Christian literature. Anybody comes to mind as an example who fights for the rights of people? Yes, Derek.
You know, I'm just thinking that we probably wouldn't know their name. Because that's
Good
not
point.
Why they're doing it.
Good point.
So they're in the inner city, closest to where we live, and they're getting out there, and they're maybe running the food pantry, like Trevor talked about, in your home area, and they're not being interviewed on national TV. But they are indeed extending the love of God in a very tangible way.
Right.
Maybe we should ask the least of these.
Yes.
Right.
And they would tell us who they are.
Oh, right. Amen.
They say, oh, it's Susan, it's John. Yes. It's that that person that comes, you know, late at night. That story I heard of an elderly lady who decided she would have a ministry to women who were on the streets, who would come and put her arms around them. Now, now you talk about different talents. That's not a talent that God would ask Gary or Jonathan to do, you know? But this mother, this loving, godly woman could go out there and put her arms around these young women who were in such a dangerous setting. We may never know their names, but Jesus knows them.
Yes. Amen. So someone, let's say a Hope Sabbath School member from another part of the world is watching this episode and is wondering, yes, I'm convicted that I need to show mercy, right? I need to love mercy. But what can I do now, right? How can my love for mercy expand? What if someone is asking that question? How would you respond? Yes, Nicole.
I would say the first thing to do is pray and ask the Spirit to lead you and guide you in the way that you should go to be able to show mercy to someone. Because I think on our own, we are not capable really of showing true mercy because that's just not our character. But with the Holy Spirit and with Christ in our life, I think we then are led to where we can actually show mercy. And then we ask the Lord to give us the strength to be merciful to that person that we come in contact with.
Yes, yes. Gladys?
Yeah, just like Pastor Derek was saying, just making ourselves available. It's not just, you know, praying, but also
making ourselves available so that God lead us to the person or to the people that we need to be serving every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Addison, anything else comes to mind?
Well, I specifically, I'm from Canada, and I'm just thinking about my home church right now.
Okay.
Growing up there, I mean, it's always had a special place in my heart. And so I just want to re-echo the things that have been said here today to my home church back home in Canada. I just want to continue each of you to show mercy to others, pray for a willing spirit.
Yes.
And allow God to use you in a powerful way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pedro.
Well, we see that relationship is key for this to happen, because if you don't know the people, how can you help them? So get to know in prayer, ask God to put people in your life that will be able to impact. If you don't have the relationship, if you don't meet with them in a personal level, you will never know.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Gary?
Pray for a understanding of how God has been merciful to yourself, to you. Because without a true appreciation for what God is doing or what He has done for you, you can't be spurred on to do anything, even if people are around you that need it. But when you ask God to open your eyes to see how much He has blessed you and been a blessing in your life, you'd want to share that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Those are all good points. To add my personal point of view, I think in my personal experience, when it comes to having mercy towards others, what has helped me is education, you know, reading, exploring, knowing the facts, being informed about what's happening around the world, and also traveling. You know, traveling really helps. It's one thing to see someone in need through a TV screen, but it's a whole nother experience when you're actually on the ground, seeing the people in need. You know, you could visit a refugee center or visit a refugee camp somewhere, or even a refugee resettlement here in the United States. You know, we can go to the grounds, and by traveling, I believe we can really find practical needs that we can help people with.
Amen.
Now, let's conclude our study. So we have looked at the fact that God wants us to be merciful, and we can be merciful by being generous, right? Being the peacemakers, and standing up for people in need.
Amen.
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 What a great study. You know, I'm just reminded of what Jesus said, and Jesus says it simply but powerfully. He says, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Let's pray that that could happen. And you're right, Nicole, it is a miracle.
Yes.
But it can happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're just so thankful that You are a merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You love mercy and that You want to show Your mercy in us and through us. We just want to be available, not just to talk about mercy, but to act mercifully. May those around us be blessed and may joy come to Your heart. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 What a challenging study. Thank you, Puya. Thank you for being with us. Don't just go out and talk mercy. Go out and be merciful. Be a blessing to those around you.